felt or heard God speak to you? Maybe not audible voice, maybe picture, maybe feeling, maybe something, right? Have you ever experienced something like that? Yes, no. If yes, share with somebody next to you, somebody around. I would encourage you, please talk. Like, talk to people, guys. Faith is meant to be shared with others. Don't, like, you know, not talk, right? Okay? So go take a few minutes, share a story.
All the God was giving directly giving music to other people. Being pushed
hello? So did you hear God?
You know, God said to call you, or I see you
driving. What I would say, remember 20,
never think about it. I think other people are saying something.
Yeah, yes.
And maybe God's using that too.
I don't know if he said anything specific
about you.
I remember being
Well, I know if you're in a group of like four, probably only like one person got to share. We can continue as we go on. God speaks. Hopefully many of you have had experiences where you felt like God has talked to you, spoken to you, maybe in various manners and different forms. Maybe it's been pictures, visions, maybe it's been in prayer. Maybe it's been in senses or feelings or callings or tugs of your heart. Maybe it's been, you know, as you're having a devotional and you're reading scripture and, you know, something just like pulls you in a deeper way, right? Or maybe it's been during a message where you felt, had one of those moments like, I felt like they were speaking right at me, you know, the pastor. And, you know, God speaks in so many different ways. You know, the first time I ever really, I would say, like, experienced the presence of God was here at this retreat, not in this room, in a different room. I don't remember which room. But that was the night that I was like, oh, God, you're real. I better, like, give my life to you. You know, I better pray that prayer. I don't know if you guys remember, Pam, you were probably here. You know, but I was in seventh grade, and it was Pastor Lamar was here. I remember he was leading, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was during the sharing time that was like on Saturday night, and all the youth were in a room and we're like hanging out. And me at seventh grade, like I come in to retreat and it's like, it's playtime, right? Like it's not like Jesus time. It is like, I'm with my friends, we're going to go to the pool, we're going to go play basketball, right? Like, let's see whatever else we can do other than pay attention. And, but that night, I remember we're like in this room and it's just like open sharing. And I forgot, like somebody, like maybe I think I was seventh grade, and like somebody like shared something and I'm like, cool story, bro, right? And then like one of the other youth started sharing, and they're sharing about like some struggles that they were having, right? Some difficulties, some things that they're upset about. I don't remember the content of it. And then I remember like somebody started like crying, right? And then like somebody else started crying. Like somebody else started crying. And then before you know it, we have this room of like 30 youth, and everybody's just bawling. Like just, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was, I don't know. It was like really emotional. And I remember we were like praying, we were crying, and then like people started praying, and then some people were like trying to sing songs or something like that. And I remember it was so like I felt like my eyes were closed. And I felt like if I had opened my eyes, I would have like seen God. That's how it felt like it was in that room. And I was like, oh man, right? Like God's like super real. And it was this really crazy like collective experience, I remember. And I remember afterwards, like we all like me and my friends, like the other seventh graders, we got together and we're like, what just happened? Was that really real? Like, did you get, you know, the same thing? Or do you remember this one? I feel like I was not. That was just me. I remember that one in particular. Maybe it was my first, that's why. Right? I remember it was so, is Jim here? Where's Jim? Jim's brother, Bing. Do you remember at service the next day? It was like combined service, so it was like the Chinese pastor was speaking to the whole church. He like stood up and interrupted the message and was like, I gotta get this off my chest. I don't know what I experienced yesterday. You know what I mean? Like he just like had him, and I'm like, I knew being a little bit. I was like, you're not that guy, like, to be doing, you know what I mean? To be doing this, right? And it was such a crazy experience. It was beautiful. I hope maybe you get something like that, you know, tonight. Shed a tear, right? Maybe Jesus will meet you. But anyhow, I do believe that God speaks, that God guides, and I'm going to connect this a little bit to the passage or to the theme. But I want to go to the theme verse real quick. The full theme verse of this weekend is this: that in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. And those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. That's interesting. It's talking about the house, right? And that there's like these gold and silver instruments that are special. And there's wood and clay instruments that are like not. And he's saying those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy. And so I don't think it's like get rid of the wood and clay instruments, right? He's saying those who get rid of the common use will be transformed into the gold and silver instruments. Does that make sense? He's not saying like don't get rid of the wood and clay instruments. Don't get rid of those things. Actually, I think it's saying like you are the wood and clay, right? But if you cleanse yourself from this common use, you will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, transformed and changed. What is wood will become gold. What is clay will become silver. Reason why I bring up the Spirit is because in the passage today, we're going to talk about what is the Holy Spirit's role in this process of being made gold, being made silver. Let me read. One second. Galatians 5:13. I'll start there. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I need 2 volunteers. We'll get some of the people that just came into the room. What's your name?
Joseph.
Can you come up here with your volunteer?
Matthew. Welcome. Give Matthew a hand.
It's really good. All you need to do is stand.
You just need to stand.
Okay. Joseph, you stand over here. And I want you to face this way. Yeah.
Matthew, I want you to stand.
Okay. Listen. This is hypothetical. None of this is true. Okay? Let's say this is a spectrum of righteousness. Right? Where if Jesus was in a place, he'd be like over here, right? And maybe if someone, not Jesus, was like over here. So we've got Joseph. Joseph's man, it's been a tough life, okay, for Joseph. It's kind of a little bit like me when I was, how old are you, Joseph?
16.
Yeah, you know, maybe forging his report cards, maybe lying a lot, maybe cheating. Maybe he's got a, you know, really bad cussing problem. Maybe he's, you know, got a, you know, he's cocky and proud and he's arrogant or whatever. This is Joseph. And here we go, Matthew. Look it up, man. Matthew is so pure and holy, so upstanding. He knows his Bible verses. He's like first to answer Jesus whenever somebody raises a question in Sunday school, right? Okay, and this is where they're at. Okay, this is a trick question, by the way. Who is in the better place? Think about it. Who is in the better place, Joseph or Matthew? Okay, I want you to come up with an answer. Tell somebody next to you, who do you think is in the better place? Go. I'll give you like 1 minute. Who's in the better place, Joseph or Matthew? All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. That was easy. It was so easy. It's definitely a trick question, okay? It's definitely a trick question. I used to read this passage. It was like, hey, there is the flesh and it has its fruit, right? There is the Spirit and it has its fruit. And so basically, if you want to be a good Christian, what you need to do is you need to have good fruit. You don't want to have bad fruit. So I would look down the list, right? What's the bad fruit? Okay, you know, idolatry, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, not the gaming platform, right? Idolatry and witchcraft, right? Jealousy, fits of, and I'll just do the checklist, right? I'll look at my life and I'll compare it to a list like this and be like, okay, if I have less and less of these, then like less bad fruit is coming out of my life, like I'm doing good. And then I'll look at the, you know, the positive fruit of the Spirit. I'll be like, okay, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, forbearance, self-control. And I'll be like, okay, let me grow in these things. Let me get better in these things. I remember one time in college, I felt like I was so holy. Like, I was like, my New Year's resolution was like, this year, I'm gonna learn how to love people. I wanna really learn how to love people, right? And I'm just gonna put all, and I really thought like, it'll take me 1 year to learn this. You know, like I could do that for 1 year resolution and I will be a lover of people, right? Like after just like 1 year. And I had this thought, like I just need to work on the good fruit. I need to make those things happen. I don't think that's what this is describing. Says this. Oops. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. The imagery here is like, you're going on a walk. You're on a hike. And the picture that it is portraying, that Paul is portraying, is that there is this spirit character. And he is moving. He goes, you know, he's moving, right? And he says to the Galatian church, like, walk next to it. And as you walk next to it, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Find where the Spirit is going, follow it along, and here's what I think is saying, and the sin will start getting left behind. Find out where the Spirit is going. Find out what the Spirit is doing. Find out where it is leading you. Find out where the Spirit is working in your life. Find out where the Spirit is calling you. Find the thing that the Spirit is doing and keep in step. And as you keep in step with the Spirit, the sin stuff starts getting left behind. This whole letter to the Galatians, Paul has been really frustrated with them. I would say he's probably the most angry, you know, like upfront angry in any of the letters, like in this epistle. And he's really upset because what has been happening with the church in Galatia is that they have been adopting a lot of Jewish laws, right, as requirements for spirituality. And he's making his case over and over and over again of like how it doesn't work like that, how that is not good for them, right? In Galatians 3:3, he like really gets upset. He says, "You foolish Galatians, why have you tried to, like, you who started by the Spirit, why are you trying to finish with the flesh? The work that the Spirit started, why are you trying to finish it with the flesh? With your own abilities, with your own power, just like, you know, get really, really hyped up, like, I'm gonna finish you. I'm gonna just stop sinning. I'm gonna stop not living up to what God wants for me. I can just do it all on my own. I'm gonna make it, because that's what good Christians do. That's what followers of Jesus do. He's like, why are you trying to finish it? I think that what is more important than where you are on the scale. You see, I would have said, Joseph's in the better place. Do you know why? Because Joseph was faced this way. He was oriented towards Christ. He was oriented towards where God is. Matthew might have looked nicer, presented better. This is not true. And I mean, you're both awesome, I'm sure. Just like pray, you know. But really, I think the picture is saying, as a community, the transforming work of the Spirit happens as we find out where the Spirit is leading and we just follow along. And I think a lot of times, particularly in Christianity, particularly in our faith, and maybe even so a little bit much more, we get really fixated on the sin stuff, which is good. Okay, so kill it. It says crucify your flesh, all of these things. But I think the way that we treat it, if I were to make it a picture, I'd be like, this is sin, and we're like, this is so bad. And we just need to, like back away from it. Where I think the picture of following Christ is not as much this as, like, this is where Jesus is. This is where the Spirit is. This is where the things that Jesus does, the life that he lives, and I'm supposed to follow that and start to just leave that behind. And the difference between the two is sometimes, like, we get stuck. This repentance is what? Turning away. And I think a lot of times we think more about what we're turning away from than what we're turning towards. We think, get away from me, sin, good thing. Get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, devil. Get away from me, all of these things. Yes. But when it overtakes our mindset of how we're supposed to live life, where we don't see the good and the beautiful and the life that Jesus is offering us, the things that he's inviting us into, and just joining in with that, I think then we might end up in a similar place to where this church was, whereby we're trying to finish with what the Spirit started by just some good old hard work. I had this really good illustration in seminary, kind of like had this picture of a spear, I don't have it, right? And that our determination is like the head of the spear, right? Our determination and so a lot of times when we're thinking about, like, how do we get through sin, or how do we, you know, like, you know, break through whatever it is, and we gather up our determination, right? We sharpen the end of the spear. We're like, okay, this time I'm really done with it. This time I'm gonna, you know, stop looking at the stuff on the internet, right? This time I'm gonna stop lying to my parents. Like, this time I'm gonna stop being proud. This time I'm gonna stop arguing with, you know, my husband or my wife, right? This time I'm gonna be nicer to my kids. This time I'm gonna be more gracious. I need to just, and we work it up, right? We sharpen the edge of the spear. But if the edge of the spear is our determination, the haft of the spear is our character. And if that is flimsy, you can throw the sharpest thing at a wall and it'll cut like maybe an inch deep. And the character of the person, that's the stuff that God makes. That's the stuff that God transforms and changes and puts in us. We have to think about our Christian, when we're talking about being tools transformed for the use of God's holy purposes, made holy. Like, we are not in control of that. Or we are, up to the point of, like,
We can find out where the Spirit is leading, and we can start walking along. And the result of that, we have to leave to let God figure that out. I tell you, there will be times, and I shared, you know, already yesterday, there are times where God will, the Spirit will lead us right into confronting a sin. For me, it was like lying, right? School. And that was that journey. There are a lot of times where the Spirit has led me and grown me, not by confronting that, by saying, hey, come and do this work. Let me call you to love this person and care for them. It's like, don't confront, you don't need to confront your impatience. Let me pull you to love. And things start to change. God starts to transform and teach and guide. Our job, our role, at least as Galatians talks about, is that we don't make it happen. We just find out where the Spirit's going. And we walk alongside. And as you do, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Why? Because your heart starts to change. Your hope starts to change. The pleasure, what you receive joy from, starts to change. What you receive happiness starts to change. Sometimes that process is a lot slower than we want it to be, isn't it? Like, don't we, like, so much, like, man, God, like, why can't you work this one out for me already? It's been, like, 15 years. I still get, like, mad, you know? I don't know really what to say. I think we are at the mercy of a God who knows and leads and understands and guides. He knows our capacity. He knows what we can do. He has a leading that he will take us on. Sometimes we desire the good transformation. But I think sometimes God desires a different one. We desire to be great in one area of our lives, but maybe God's leading transformation in another part. When we fixate so much on one, where it's like, no, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, I don't think we're following the Spirit. That begs the question, how do you follow the Spirit? How do you discern where the Spirit is going? And I don't know where, you know, like if CCC is similar to where I was, to where it was when I was here, it's very cautious, but open, right? Like, you don't want to be like just following whatever you want, right? Like, how do you know that that's the Spirit? You need to make sure, which I agree with, you 1000% do. We have really great things that the Bible gives us, that Scripture gives us, to be able to discern the Holy Spirit. One is Scripture itself. The other is the community of Christ. You know, this picture, when I think, okay, when you think of walking by the Spirit, let's say imagine the Spirit is a character and you're walking alongside it. Just like, close your eyes real quick. Like, just, I don't know what the Spirit looks like, but just imagine, where are you? Like, maybe you're in nature, maybe you're by the beach, maybe you're in your home, right? Like, walking through the neighborhood. Like, imagine the Spirit walking alongside of it. Okay, like, whatever. Okay, open your eyes. How many of you imagined yourself walking alone? Just you and the Spirit. Probably most of us, right? Why? Because we're very individualistic Americans, right? What's the picture of Scripture? It's not one person walking alone.
It is a community walking together. Right? We discern the Spirit in community. In the book of Acts, almost every single time where they're talking about, and the Spirit, you know, like said this or do this, it was in a prayer meeting. It was a collective group of people that discerned it together. It wasn't one person is just like, oh yeah, it's this and that's for sure, right? It was a community experience. The Holy Spirit was discerned. They're praying and they're like, I think Paul and Barnabas need to go here. I think that's what the Spirit's telling us. One thing I think that I have kind of moved away from is I used to have this idea that, you know, prayer is how we talk with God. The Bible is how God talks with us. And that's the conversation, right? I pray up, God speaks down, right? I just don't feel that way anymore. I feel like the Bible describes a Holy Spirit that is an advocate, a guide, a shepherd, a one who will remind us of all the things that Jesus taught, a one that is in our lives, nudging our hearts, calling us, guiding us, leading us. I think we need to make space for that. When I was about to graduate from seminary, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into full-time ministry, right? Like, probably should have some time with God to, like, think through, like, how all this is going, right? And so I had a friend who was, like, in the Spiritual Formation Institute over at Biola. I was like, hey, can you give me some, like, prayer reflection things to do, you know, because I want to go on like a personal retreat, right? And so this has actually become a part of my routine. Like every year I'll, you know, like go get a hotel room by the beach, right? Just by myself. And I will bring a Bible, right? I'll bring a journal and that's it, right? I'm like, okay, like I'm just going to, me and God 24 hours, right? Just like have some time. It's really great. 10 out of 10, encourage it. I know that's a lot. Start with like 10 minutes, okay? But I remember going and you know, I'm just like thinking about forward, like, hey God, you know, I'm ready to graduate. I'm ready to pursue like full-time ministry. I'm ready to become a pastor, but I wanna hear, right? Like, oh, give me a glimpse if you got something for what it's gonna look like. And so the prayer exercise that I was doing at that time, I was just reading through Psalm 23 and reflecting on it, just meditating on scripture. Right? And so Psalm 23, if you guys know, it starts off with the Lord is my shepherd, I... Oh, you guys are so good. You're on that side of the... right? I shall not want. Right? And so I just was sitting with this, that sentence. And I was prompted, I'm like eating at this Denny's, like in Oceanside by the, you know, and I'm like journaling, and I'm like, what do I want? Right? So I just start writing. Like, I write down everything that I feel like I want right now, right? And I'm like, oh, I want to get married. Right? Like, you know, I want to have like a family. I would love to have a ministry position where I go and that's the only one that I'm in. I really want to be able to minister in a place that likes me, that maybe listens to me, right? That will let me exercise what I feel like are my gifts. I want, all, and these are all good things, all like really, I think, you know, like good Christian things to want, even just good things to want in life. I want friendships, I want community, I want, you know, a mentor. I want all of these things. And I'm like listing them down. And I remember I had I don't know if you recall like being young and a little kid in the grocery store with your parents. And if you've ever like grabbed something to bring to your parents to be like, "Mommy, Daddy, can we buy this?" Maybe you already knew, you're like, "No, my parents would never buy that," right? You didn't even try. But like, imagine that feeling. This is how I felt. Like I was coming to, I had like this big list. It was like, I spent like an hour just on like writing, right? Like I was supposed to go through Psalm 23. I stopped at like verse 1, right? And I'm like, this is all I want. And I'm like, that's what I felt like. I felt like I've written my list down. And I'm like, "Daddy." "Can I have these?" And I felt pretty clearly God say, "I promised you that I would be with you. Like, isn't that enough?" Oh man, that was so sad. I was like, put it back on the shelf. go put it back where you saw it. I think I spent about like 6 months mourning. Because I felt like God was, you know, not about that, right? Not forever, like, I am married right now. You know, I have community. I'm in a different church, but, you know, like, but God has been faithful. But God had a journey for me, I think, before I went into ministry. Saying, yeah, he didn't say no, but he just said, "No promises. I need to refine you. This is what this season of life is for. It's a season of refining what you really desire." We need to make space to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, how the Spirit is leading and calling. I encourage you, I would make silence a discipline. Pastor David mentioned, go on a walk. Yes, go on a walk by the Spirit, right? Like, listen. I think if you can reflect, even if you were to look back on your life, your Christian life, you could probably look back and identify like, hey, I think this is how God was leading me in this season of life. I think this was the lesson that God was teaching me in this time. If one of the first ways that we can kind of see the work of the Spirit or the leading of the Spirit is maybe to look backwards, right? We look back and, oh yeah, definitely like in that time, that's what God is. I don't think it's always meant to be just in reflection. I think it's also meant to help us see where God is leading us now. But I think that's just the journey of transformation, right? That's how we discern what are the good works that God wants us to do. You know, as a pastor, most of like the big picture work is knowing what to say no to. Because there's so many good things we could be doing, right? But we're probably only really called to like one or two. And we need the Spirit to help us discern that. We need to make space to listen, to hear, to let that guidance come. And then we need the faith to follow. It's very confusing to be silent before God. So let me give you a couple more tips. So one, you have Scripture, right? Like that creates, I think, the boundary of like, hey, this is what God sounds like, right? Like, you know what Jesus sounds like. You know what his heart is like. Like, you could probably, like, I say it's like a sniff test, right? Like, if that smells like Jesus, it's probably, like, good. That's what you're getting. We have the community. Like, talk to somebody. Talk to those around you. Talk to your pastors. Talk to your leaders. Talk to your friends. Be like, hey, I kind of think that God might be putting this on my heart. What do you think? Let's pray together. Let's walk alongside with one another. Lastly, I think we need some faith. You know, like sometimes I'll like pray and like maybe like a name will come up into my head, right? Maybe I'm like Hanran, right? And I'm like, Hanran, is it just because I just saw him at retreat? Like, I don't know if that's me. Is that God? Like, I don't know, right? In cases like that where it's fairly benign, you know what I would say? I'm just going to call Hanran. And let me find out. Learning to discern the spirit is practice. You know, it's not something you're just like automatically like, you know, I know exactly where the spirit, it's more like, I don't know, maybe. Talk to somebody, maybe, okay, right? Like read some scripture, like, right? It takes a little bit of faith. It takes a little bit of a, let me just see. And there's a lot of things that are probably in that area where it's like, okay, you can try. It's probably fairly safe. Like if I call Hanran and he's like, sorry, man, I'm busy. Like, get away, right? I'll be like, well, maybe not, right? But maybe if it's like, oh, Hanran, he's like, yeah, I was thinking about this. You know, I don't know. We have like this beautiful conversation. Like, oh, maybe that was the spirit's prompting and leading. And just learning to live like that. I would encourage you to take times of silence, I mean daily, to just ask God and present yourself to Him. If you need any other tips, a good starting place, I really like Psalm 139. Something to meditate upon. It's good to meditate on Scripture to help guide, right, us into, you know, what we know the Spirit has spoken and done. Psalm 139 is the Lord, you know me, you know when I stand up, you know when I, you know, sit down. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I be, right? And it ends with, see if there's any wayward way within me and lead me in paths of everlasting. And it's a psalm of presentation. Just presenting ourselves to God to let Him lead. To let Him guide. As we do this, what I believe we will see as community is transformation. Change. The sin, the flesh, start getting left behind. As we experience more and more of who God is, as we figure out what He sounds like, how He speaks to us. I want to practice this to close, and this is going to be weird. It's going to feel weird, okay? If you haven't like had a lot of silent time with God before, it's going to be very hard to shut off your brain. You're going to be thinking of like 5 million different things. Like, just like as you do, just try and push it away and just be present with God. Okay? I'm going to give us just 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Okay? And I just want to encourage you, just say, God, I am here to be with you. And I'll close this in prayer. After that 5 minutes. So, go ahead. May the words of our hearts, our mouths, and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Was that weird? Who was that weird? Was that hard? I mean, you were really like, I was just thinking about stuff the entire time, right? Like, I had a music song playing. Oh, man, I was replaying a conversation with somebody that I had. Or I'm like, I don't agree with Clarence. I'm not going to do this at all, right? Like, it's fine. It's really difficult, I find, to, like, be silent. It's difficult to be in a posture of listening. It's difficult to be in a place of stillness. And it's hard not to hear like a little creak of a chair, you know, like a little like, you know, the air conditioning turning on or the hum of like something else. It's really difficult to just like focus on God and be present with Him. But I would say this is a very valuable discipline. I think it's the picture of life that the Bible describes as following Jesus is in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you. And as we do, as I mentioned, we're going to see like amazing things. We'll be made new, transformed, ready to do the works that God has for us. Let me close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would be opening our hearts to like having this active relationship with you where we are with you. We want to hear from you. We want you to be the one guiding us. Or maybe some of us have been just trying so hard with our abilities, with our efforts to just get towards you and to do the right thing, Lord, and we're tired. We're confused. Lord, we need your Spirit to lead and to guide and to show us the way. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to experience this freedom that comes when we rest in your Spirit, when we listen instead of needing to just go. And that as we do, Lord, would you give us the faith to hear? Would you refine and our abilities to discern you? But we know that you desire for us to figure it out as well. So that you will give us what we need within your scripture, within the body, Lord, to be able to know you, to hear you, to follow you. Now we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Clarence. Oops. We have our workshop at 10:45. That gives us another 30 minutes or so of a break, which you can spend as the Lord leads you. But the youth group and college group will be with Pastor Clarence on the topic of relationships. And then for the adults, you'll be with me on the book of Revelation. Okay. You are
all right. Yeah.